Well, as that video, let me try that again. As that video spoke of, I'm beginning a new sermon series today on stewardship. It's called Speaking of Stewardship, and we will be focused on this theme for the next few weeks. But I want us to start by thinking about what's at the center of our lives. What's our focus? In other words, who are we serving? Or what are we serving? And to help guide our reflection, I want us to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to Matthew chapter 6. I'll read a small portion of the Sermon on the Mount. I'll be reading verses 19 through 21 and then verse 24. And I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Again, this is Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 and verse 24. Let's listen now to this scripture. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, the Bible is the church's book. And part of its power is that it speaks a living word to us. But how are we going to respond to what we just heard? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. So what will we do with this? What difference will it make in the way we live our lives? I want to point out that Jesus spoke more about money than he did about prayer or heaven or hell. In fact, Jesus talked more about it than anything else except for the kingdom of God. And that tells us that money is an issue that Jesus took very seriously. That's why he spoke about it so much. 11 of his 39 parables are about money. And one of every seven verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about it. In Matthew 19, Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus talked about money repeatedly, not because he was a greedy preacher or because he was a church fundraiser. He spent so much time talking about money because he knew that it can compete for our allegiance with God. And that's why he said, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. We have to pick one over the other. Now, I think that's an easy choice for us to make here in this beautiful sanctuary as we worship God on a Sunday morning. And I think it is really easy and tempting to point a judgmental finger at people who seem to worship wealth. Probably all of us can think of a few examples. And I think about a guy named Roger Smith. He was the chairman of General Motors in the 1980s. And when he stepped down in 1990, he didn't think his retirement package was sufficient. So there was a vote at a stockholders meeting to almost double his pension, up to $1.2 million per year. Now that's a hefty sum of money in today's world, let alone 30 years ago. Now some of the stockholders weren't real happy with that proposal. The state treasurer of Michigan was pretty disgusted by it, and he confronted Roger Smith on this. He said, Roger, can't you eke out a retirement at $749,000 a year? And then another person said, Mr. Smith, you will make $20,000 a week. In 3 weeks, you will receive more in retirement than what an average assembly line worker makes in a year. Now, despite that opposition, the increase to his pension was approved. Now, it's really easy to point fingers at people like that and even call them greedy. But can any of us really point any fingers? I know I can't, because money is so tempting. It's a constant battle to resist its power. And what makes this even harder is that in our world, money is celebrated. It gives us a sense of security, pleasure, status, and power. But we should also consider what money does to us. It stirs up fear, guilt, insecurity, and greed. You know, money and wealth can enslave us to their dark power. They can lead us in destructive directions. And a wise teacher in the early church once said, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." You'll find that in 1 Timothy. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about money because he cares about us. He cares about our hearts. Jesus gave a lot of attention to this issue because he knows that money and wealth affect our hearts. He knows that these things can stress our relationships and can cause divisions among people. He knows that the pursuit of wealth can be all-consuming, even burdensome. Jesus also knew that this issue is bigger than a financial matter. People who've lost their jobs and people who have trouble earning money will tell you the same. They'll tell you about the spiritual and emotional toll that come with not having any income. See, Jesus knew that money is not just a financial issue, but also a spiritual and emotional issue. And that's why he talked about it so much. He stressed the fact that you can't serve God and wealth. Now, some translations replace the word wealth with the word mammon. And I think that's a better translation. Mammon is an Aramaic word that it really means accumulated resources. Mammon relates to a person's overall wealth, and it includes both money and possessions. We can say that it includes all the stuff that we own. And I don't think it takes much to realize what Jesus means when he refers to our stuff. You know, we earn money so that we can put things into our homes and make a few investments here and there and stockpile belongings in our closets. And when you think about it, we do have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of mammon. And often we treasure this stuff. But Jesus says in verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus knows that how we use our money will reflect what we really treasure. Now, having a house full of mammon doesn't make us bad people, but it can be a great burden because it takes a lot of time and energy to maintain all that stuff. And that can pull us in directions that we never intended to go. Let me give you an example. If you buy a house that requires a large percentage of your income, you have no choice but to spend time and energy and money paying for it. It can be a focal point in your life. And that's why Jesus tells us that wherever we put our treasure, our hearts will follow. We'll inevitably be pulled in that direction. Now, I want to stress that Jesus is not preaching against material possessions. However, he is telling us that our allegiance should be with God, not to our stuff. Jesus tells us that if we want to be part of God's kingdom, then we should live in ways that keep our hearts centered on God. And I think ultimately this is about our priorities, which is why Jesus invites us to examine where we put our energy and how we use our money. This will show us what we think is important. It will help us see whom we are serving or what we are serving. And every day, we have to decide what our main priorities will be. Will we serve God, or will we serve our stuff, our mammon? Now, this is a constant battle because mammon wants to enslave us, but God wants to set us free. Mammon says to us, you need to keep working harder so you can earn more money. But God says, come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Mammon says, you need to worry about your wealth and watch your investments carefully. But God says, loosen your grip and get in step with Jesus. Mammon says, store up money for a rainy day. But God says, who do you think sends the rain? Every day, mammon tries to draw us in and gain our allegiance by using things like fear, insecurity, greed, and selfishness. Every day, we face the choice of whom we will serve. Is it God or is it mammon? Now, this boils down to our priorities. And I think some days we do a much better job than other days, but if we keep turning back to God, it will show. If we keep choosing God over mammon, the way we live will stand out and it'll make a difference in this world. Let me tell you the story of Osceola McCarty, who lived from 1908 to 1999 in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Her life illustrates what it means to choose God over mammon. She dropped out of school in the sixth grade so that she could take care of a relative who was sick. And then she worked the rest of her life as a laundry woman for 75 years. She washed and ironed and folded clothes. She made very little money, but she stashed away what she could, and eventually she opened a savings account at the First Mississippi National Bank. Osceola lived a simple life. She lived in a small home just blocks away from the University of Southern Mississippi. She had few treasures here on earth. She didn't get an air conditioner installed in her home until she was in her mid-80s, and she only used it, though, when she had company over. She never owned a car. She walked a mile each way to the grocery store. And every Sunday, when she went to worship at Friendship Baptist Church, she carried a Bible that was held together by scotch tape. By the time she was 87 years old, her hands had worn down with arthritis, and it made it too difficult for her to work. So she had to retire. And at that point, she realized that her time left on this earth was coming to a close. And so she began putting her affairs in order. And she had to decide what she was going to do with the little that she had accumulated over her lifetime. Well, in 1995, the development office at the University of Southern Mississippi received a phone call from the bank. And the bank had a check from no other than Osceola McCarty. Oddly enough, no one from the college had ever heard of this woman, but they quickly took notice because the check they were receiving was for $150,000. Who would have ever thought that she could have built up a nest egg like that? But she did. And she wanted to generously share her treasure by setting up a scholarship for students in need. And that's a gift that continues to bless students well beyond her death. Of course, the greatest gift she shared was the gift of her generosity. That was one of the ways that Miss McCarty lived out her faith. She made God a priority through the choices that she made with her money. As you think about the priorities in your life, what do you see? Who are you serving? Who is your master? And I think the way to answer that question is to take a moment to assess where your treasure currently is. Are you spending too much time or energy on stuff that draws you away from really important things like your faith and your family? Does it make your heart feel divided? Jesus tells us that we have the opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. And these treasures are different from mammon. Heavenly treasures are things that won't rust or decay, and they can't be stolen. Heavenly treasures are the things of God, and they include forgiveness, mercy, grace, righteousness, and generosity. When we pursue these things, when we choose to incorporate them into the way that we live, we discover a deep, deep connection with the Lord. But every day we have to decide what we are going to do. It's a choice between God and mammon, but that's not an easy decision to make. It may be a decision that you can't make all at once, but the choice really is clear. You can serve your stuff and be enslaved to it, or you can loosen your grip, lighten your load, and serve the living God who will set you free. So what choice will you make?